312-981-7200 is the phone number. We were talking yesterday morning about stock characters and cliched stereotypical characters in movies. And then we're going to move on also to movie cliches that just won't die. But I wanted to mention, you know, Dan, there was one that we didn't mention yesterday that it occurred to me that I wanted to mention. I love, one of my favorite stereotypical stock characters is the cool teacher.
Oh, sure.
Don't you? You gotta love, hey, everybody. Hey, just call me Nick. You know, I'm not Mr. DiGilio. Call me Nick, man. Like the cool, hip teacher that everybody loves. That's one of my favorites of all time. Do you remember the episode of The Simpsons that Dustin Hoffman did the voice for the substitute? He was a substitute teacher, and Lisa had a crush on him. Remember that? That's one of the best examples of the cool, you know, the cool hip teacher that the kids love. He understands the kids, fights for them. You know what I mean? Like against the principal, the mean principal who comes in and yells, hey, you don't understand these kids, man. I do. It's usually a handsome dude, you know? So, not quite like Half Nelson with Ryan Gosling. That does not fit this category.
Yeah, kind of different.
little different. Anyway, when your teacher smokes crack, he's not the cool hip, teacher that you're hoping for. But yeah, that's always been one of my favorites. And have you watched AP Bio?
No, I haven't had a chance to watch it.
You know, it's really funny. Glenn Howerton from Sunny is in it. The great Patton Oswalt. Michael Bryan, SNL, used to be cast member. He was a cast member for one season, but he was a writer for many seasons. He created it. It took a couple of episodes for me to get. To get into the rhythm of it, but there's a lot of SNL sort of behind the scenes people who are in it, and Howerton's really funny on it. And
good.
There's nothing really new. It's like, oh, I don't want to be here, you know, bad teacher kind of thing. But Patton Oswalt is hysterical. You know, he's the authority figure that has absolutely no authority, and Howerton is really good. You know, he plays. You know, again, if you come from, you know, Sonny. And you're going to play a similar character to what you play on Sonny, because that's the same thing with Caitlin Olsen on The Mick.
Right.
She's playing a really flawed, screwed up, dangerous character, and the same thing with this. So I'm assuming that, you know, if Charlie Day gets a sitcom, he's going to play a loon as well.
I think that's the same bet.
Yeah. So I just watched this video not too long ago on YouTube, and it was just called, and I had to watch it, because it was called Irish People Watch It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. So it's, you know, one of those reaction videos where people are watching something, you see the reaction. I have no idea why they specifically chose Irish people, but it made me laugh. It was so funny. Like, clearly, you know, like a few people who had never seen it before. And it was the Kitten Mitten episode that they were watching, which is a legendary Sunny episode. And watching these Irish people, and it's so specific. And then that led me down like a kind of a YouTube road.
Sure, yeah.
Because I watched Irish people watch The Room. You know, and that was absolutely hysterical. So I don't know, so weird. Like I'm surprised that there are weirdly specific things on YouTube.
Right.
So Esmeralda, do you enjoy the cool teacher stock character?
Like in Summer School?
Yeah, there you go. That's a perfect example. Mark Harmon, perfect example. I mentioned Esmeralda. You were out of the hut there, but I mentioned the Dustin Hoffman voiced episode of The Simpsons.
Oh yeah,
where Lisa has a crush on him. Because he's like, hey, I'm the cool substitute teacher, man.
Yeah, Robin Williams and
in Good Will Hunting.
No, the other one.
What other one? I'm sorry. The Dead Poets Society.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a great cliche right there. The great cool teacher cliche. So, and then
Michelle Pfeiffer.
Yeah, was she cool? Well, yeah, she was cool.
Yeah, because
yeah,
she took him to Red Lobster or something or Olive Garden.
I can't remember.
Because they did well in their homework.
I just remember. I didn't like that.
And they taught him, and she taught him Bob Dylan.
I don't even. I got to tell you that I've only seen that movie once. I didn't like it. Dangerous Minds.
I've seen it many a time.
I've only seen it the one time, but I've seen the video 8 million times because I love that Michelle Pfeiffer is in a Coolio video and she like gets in the chair, she straddles the chair.
Yeah, which means she's so cool.
She's very cool, but she's in the video with Coolio.
Yeah, in her leather jacket.
Yeah.
Come on.
I love that video.
Cool teacher.
I love that video, man. I do. I adore that video. It's so good. And you know, like, Coolio now is like, he apologizes for the whole Weird Al thing. Because you remember, Esmeralda, you got all mad because Weird Al did Amish Paradise. And then Coolio like was like, man, that ain't funny. I don't like it. And then like years later, he's like, I'm sorry, man. Weird Al. Hey, Dan, you know our former buddy here who used to work here, the great Jason Skaggs?
Yeah,
Skaggs, who did the Jokey theme song. He also did our Celebrity Name Game theme song. He lives in Texas now. I think he lives in Texas. Skaggs lives in Texas. He posted a picture of himself hanging out backstage with Weird Al.
Oh, wow.
Now, can you imagine Skaggs with Weird Al? He must have been like...
Oh, my God.
Totally in his element and in heaven. And it's just a picture, the picture of the two of them, and he just wrote on it, nerds. So, yeah, the cool teacher, man. All right, are you ready for some movie cliches? We've talked about this before. These are always fun. What are your favorite movie cliches? Like, here's one of the first ones that I have here, a list of movie cliches that'll never die. Cars are never locked, and they contain the keys needed to start them. That's in a ton of movies. How many people, Dan, here's a question for you. As a car owner, do you keep your keys in the visor?
I have two keys to my car, and one is on my key ring and one's in my house. I don't know anybody else who has them anywhere else.
Well, now there are no keys. You know, I mean, all the new cars, you don't really, right, right. you know, you got the press the button start thing. Like your new car, your latest, you don't have keys, right?
Well, I mean, there's still a key fob, and
yeah.
The key fob contains a key within it if you ever need to.
If you need it, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
But
you don't put it in the visor.
Right, there's... Correct.
Every time I see a movie when someone checks the visor and the keys fall down, I'm like, who the hell does that?
Mark Carman, I don't know if he I don't think he does that, but he does leave his car running.
What?
Just by itself.
Why?
Remember, did you hear when he got his car stolen?
Oh, yeah, because he had it. It was running.
Yeah, it was running at a gas station.
At a gas station. And somebody
he just walked away.
Why does he do that?
Yeah. And he's done it on other occasions because he was trying to justify it to me. And I'm like, no.
There's no justification for that. That's just dumb. And Carmen's not a dummy. I like Mark. He's a smart gentleman. Why would he do that? Wow, that's worse than leaving your keys in the visor. That's dumber. But yeah, in every movie, unlocked, boom, where's the keys? Let's check the visor. Oh, there they are. Nobody on the planet does that. It's only in movies.
I'm also curious. I also want to know how long does it take to hotwire a car? Because usually it's like bing, bang, boom.
Well, you know,
hot-wired.
I have to tell you this. If you want to know, you have to go watch an episode of Kaz. Because there's an episode of Kaz featuring...
He teaches you how to hotwire.
Yeah, because he was... What the idea of Kaz, one of the greatest television shows of all time, with the great Rod Liebman, who I hired as Jennifer Aniston's dad in Friends, because he's one of the greatest actors that ever lived. Ron Liebman was in this short-lived show called Kaz. I've talked about it before, from the 70s. I adore that show. And so, but the plot of the show, Esmeralda, is that he was a convict and he was in jail. He studied the law while he was in jail, and then became a lawyer. And his experiences on the streets helps him, you know, to solve cases. And so there was one case where he was defending a guy. I can't remember whether he was I think he was a defense attorney. He was defending a guy who got busted for, like, you know, stealing a car or something, and they timed how long it was supposed to take for him to hotwire it. So Kaz brings the judge and the jury outside and shows them exactly how long it takes to hotwire a car. I can't remember the exact thing. It was probably very short.
10 seconds.
It was very, very short. Yeah, very short time period. And then that skewed the timeline that the prosecution had because Kaz, you know, hotwired the car. So, man, you know, in addition to 100 Deeds for Eddie McDowd, we need Kaz on DVD and Blu-ray. I'd buy it. The entire season. Series. I think it was on two seasons. Kaz. Ron Liebman. Genius. So, all right, we're going to take a break. What are your favorite movie cliches? The first one we were talking about, cars are always unlocked and the keys are there if you need them. 312-981-7200. And we love talking about movie cliches. And if you want to jump in with stock characters as well, like the cool teacher or the boy next door or the anti-hero, that kind of stuff. 312-981-7200. Yeah. I know. Hi. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. We're here until 5 a.m. And all the regular Friday features are coming up. Straight Out of Context, Nick D Show Spies, You Big Dummy, and then Fly Jam. It's Friday. That's also coming up. And we'll also find out what's happening on Outside the Loop Radio for tomorrow morning. You can hear it every Saturday morning at 6 a.m., hosted by Mike Steven, my bro-ham buddy. So we're talking about movie cliches that won't die and stock stereotypical characters that you see in TV and movies. 312-981-7200. We'd love to hear from you. 312-981-7200. Let's see. Here's Glenn on WGN. Hey, Glenn.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
All right.
This is another case of why you won that award. This is such an action-packed show tonight. Zombie movies.
Yeah.
It's, no matter how fast you run, as soon as you turn around, there's a zombie right behind you.
Yeah, we were talking about this the other day because the thing about it is there are just so damn many of them. That's the problem with zombies. You know, you can outrun them, but they're everywhere.
Yeah, they're everywhere. They're everywhere.
Yeah, yeah, so, no question about it.
All right.
Okay, thanks, Glenn. Take care, buddy.
Have a wonderful weekend.
All right, you too, buddy. There you go. Yeah, that's what we were talking about, Esmeralda. There's just too many of them. You know, they may be, you know, and again, real zombies are slow. They're not fast. Fast zombies, no. No. No.
How do they stay so put together?
Who?
The zombies.
Which ones? The fast ones?
All of them, because I mean they're rotting.
No, they're zombies.
I know stuff starts falling off, but like, wouldn't eventually? Couldn't you just wait it out, and they would all just kind of their legs
and
would
fall apart?
Off?
Yeah. Well, that was the thing. You know, like here's the thing. I remember, you know, when I interviewed George Romero many times, and when the whole fast zombie thing started, I was like, listen, George, how do you feel about fast zombies? He's like, they suck. Zombies aren't fast. Let me explain something to you. Let me just explain something to you. When George Romero says zombies must be slow, you listen. Because George Romero invented the damn genre. So if George Romero doesn't like fast zombies, then you shouldn't like fast zombies. That's how it works. Oh, man. All right. Movie cliches, 312-981-7200. Here's Scott on WGN. Hi, Scott.
Hi, Nick. How you doing this
All
morning?
Right.
Well, here's a cliche that drives me nuts.
Mm-hmm.
Something, you know, two people enter an elevator, one of them's sinister, the elevator doors close, the elevator starts going, he pushes a stop button. And no alarm goes off.
Yeah.
Every elevator I've ever been in, if you push the stop button, an alarm goes off.
That's exactly right, yeah. You know what? That's a good one. I haven't thought about that, but you're right. You're absolutely
right.
Thank
you very
much. Yeah, okay. That's great. That's a great one, Scott. Thanks, man.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Esmeralda, why don't we test that out? Let's get in the elevator and hit the stop button and see what happens.
No.
Okay.
I know you can hit the alarm button.
There's an alarm button, at least here in the Trib building. There's an alarm button and a stop button.
Yeah, there's usually been one in most buildings because I knew some troublemakers who would hit it.
Oh, now come on.
They'd be like, bah, 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 bah.
What was that?
Because they're just trying to be stupid and silly, and you'd be going up the elevator and you'd bah, 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 bah. It's like, please don't touch that.
Don't do that. I'm freaked out enough in elevators. I'm not a big, I'm not a fan of riding in elevators.
Have you noticed this one goes to 8?
Well, the one on the end.
Seven?
The one on the end. And all when we get out at 1, it's 2. Floor 2.
Yeah.
It says floor 2. That's the all the way at the end. That's the elevator at the end.
And there is one. I think it's some other set. The top doesn't say a number. It just says, okay.
What?
Yeah. I saw it. I was like, what? All right.
It just says, okay.
That's assuring.
That's the floor we want to go to. I want to go to okay. Wow.
I took it as more it's talking to me.
Oh, like you
it's
get
like
in.
Everything's okay.
Everything's okay. Don't worry about it. Oh, man. Yeah, that elevator on the end, it's also, you know, it's also, in addition to not having the right floor when you get off, We get off on floor 8, even though it's floor 7, and we get off on floor 1, even though it's floor 2. You got that screw up. But it's also, that's the louder elevator, the one that makes all kinds of weird noise.
Well, those are the ghosts.
Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know. But, yeah, stopping an elevator is not something that I would enjoy doing. Why would you stop an elevator? I want to get off the elevator as quickly as possible. I don't want to be, you know, get in there, get out, that's it. So, all right, we got to take a break here. We got the news coming up, and then we'll do more cliches and movie cliches. And one of my favorites, and I'll describe it even more, is what people always have in their grocery bags after they've gone shopping in a movie and a TV show. So it's always the same items. All right. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Yeah. Welcome back, everybody. How are you? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Showcase Studio right here on Michigan Avenue. It's Friday morning. Yeah, man. Fly Jams Friday will be coming up. So get your request ready to go for DJ Shagru. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. That's coming up. We also have Straight Out of Context, Nick D Show Spies, and coming up in just a few minutes, You Big Dummy. And I will let you know what's happening on Outside the Loop Radio with Mike Steven, also known as Broham. So that's all coming up. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. We're talking about cliches in movies and stereotypical stock characters and stuff. And before the break, I was talking about one of my favorites, which is the grocery bag. Whenever anybody is coming back from a grocery store in a movie or a TV show, there's always, you know, usually they have a paper bag, you know, the brown paper bag, and sticking out of the top always is a loaf of French bread and celery. That's usually sticking out of the top, and then sometimes eggs are sticking out of the top of the bag. But it's for some reason, anybody who goes shopping in a TV show or a movie, they have celery and a loaf of French bread sticking out of the top. Now, Esmeralda, you get celery and French bread every single time you go shopping, right?
That's all I eat.
Yeah.
I eat celery and French bread sandwiches.
Oh, my God. That sounds terrible.
With milk all over them.
Yeah. So that's
I don't know. What do you eat?
Yeah. I guess I should, you know, I shouldn't talk. I should probably try that, especially the milk part. You know I'd enjoy that.
Yeah, you'd love it.
Yeah. But yeah, that's always, it's always like, and it's like, okay, evidently everybody who goes shopping gets French bread and celery and sometimes eggs that are sticking out of the top. You can see it all the time. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Let's see. 331 area code says, as a cop, I can tell you plenty of people leave their keys in the car. Wow. All right. Okay. So like the visor thing is real.
It could also be people just leave them in the car.
Just by mistake?
Yeah. Just walk out.
I don't understand that. That's a very important thing. You know, you want to keep it on your person.
Have you ever not put the car in park?
You meant like made that mistake?
Yeah.
Yeah, I have. I think everybody has at some point. Like didn't realize it wasn't in gear or was in gear. Yeah. But I didn't get out of the car and it rolled down the street or anything like that. That was, you know. So for a while, listen, you know, this is how, you know, how bad I was with some of my cars, Esmeralda. Because I would just drive them until they were completely useless. And then I ended up, you know, giving my Ford Escort to a, you know, to the Victory Auto Wreckers. And that car in particular, my brake lights were out.
Mm-hmm.
So, whenever I would hit my brakes, only if there were a cop behind me or in the area, I would pull my emergency brake up slowly so that the lights would go on. So I'd drive around whenever I'd stop. I'd pull the emergency brake up, and I got away with it for a while. For a long while, like every time I'd go to a stoplight or a stop sign, and there was a cop behind me, I would just pull the emergency brake up, and the lights would go on. So, hard thing to, you know, it was a hard thing to fake though at night because the lights were out. So, you know, I got my headlights on, but my taillights aren't on until I pull the brake and then the lights come on. That's a dead giveaway right there. It's like, hey, what is this guy trying to prove? Oh, man. Okay, so we have a police officer out there that says plenty of people leave their keys in the car. All right. Derek, the truck driver, says a race is always won or lost by inches. Nobody ever wins by a long length. That's true. Well, it's got to be exciting, right, Esmeralda? If you're going to watch a movie that has a race in it, it's got to be tense and exciting. It's the winner has to win at the last minute.
Right. How terrible would that be if no one actually followed that?
Like, if they just
have to it has to be realistic.
So the big climactic race at the end, the person wins by 12 laps. It's over.
And we have to watch all 12.
We have to watch all 12 laps. Until the big victory at the end.
That's where the suspense is.
That's right.
Lap 7, maybe. Maybe he'll catch up.
765 says, what about running to the airport to meet the girl? Yeah, that's always a
You can't do that anymore, though.
No, because you got to go through checkpoints and
right.
stuff.
You can't even really meet people either.
No, that's true.
Because they all come out of the one entrance, or some there's like other entrances. So then,
right,
that's happened to me. I tried to get surprise my dad, and he'd come from somewhere else. Oh, I'm like, well, that was ruined.
Did you even find him? What?
No, I did. I had to call him.
Oh, you'd
I'm like, where are you?
I'm at the airport. Where are you? Oh, that's a surprise. Over the phone. Yeah, the old running to the airport to meet the game. By the way, did you see Lady Bird?
I haven't.
Oh, okay. I won't give anything away, but there's a scene that involves dropping at an airport and stuff. It's pretty pivotal, actually. So I won't give it away. But yeah, running to the airport to meet the girl before she leaves forever.
And then, I mean, what if they're punctual people? And they get their hours ahead of time.
Yeah.
And they're already inside.
Yeah.
It's like useless.
You can't.
You can't see them either.
No. No. Can't do it. All right. How about this? Here's a cliche that somebody said, women always have an ex-boyfriend who can fix cars. What? Is that a thing?
I guess. Well, I think it's because they always, if that's the storyline, then the ex-boyfriend's way cooler than the new one.
Yeah, because he can fix cars.
And has other
talents. Attributes, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, here's another cliche. A dam has only one purpose, to break. That's pretty good. that's pretty funny. Falling off the roof of a moving train is much more likely when the train crosses a high bridge with a river below. Yeah, there you go. Always end up landing in the water because, you know, the main character has to live. Can't go flying off and hitting a rock. Let's see. Here's George on WGN. Hey, George.
Hey, what's going on? I have to comment on your leaving the keys in the car thing.
Yeah.
Really quirky comment. So my grandfather's a creature of habit, and every time I tell him that he's responsible for these things happening, he tells me to shut my mouth, and I haven't learned yet. He leaves his keys in the car in the ignition. Anywhere he goes, he just shuts the car off and leaves the keys with the doors unlocked everywhere.
Oh, my God.
He's had three cars. He's had three Cadillacs stolen since the 60s, and he refuses to understand and believe that maybe leaving the keys in the ignition was the cause.
So he's lost three Cadillacs and still keeps the keys in the ignition when he gets out.
Goes to McDonald's and he leaves the keys in the ignition in the car and walks inside and just sits there with his friends for 2 hours. I don't understand it, but you can't change his mind.
No, you can't. You can't. Some people, man, you just can't change their mind, even if they lose three Cadillacs because of it. Wow.
Yeah, so I guess I think the cliche would be the old man not refusing to believe that he's the cause of
right.
the issue around him.
Right,
know, so.
Right, exactly. That's a great one.
Oh, man.
All right, George, thanks, buddy.
Have a great night.
I see you. I guess people do keep keys in the car. You know, we had a cop saying they keep keys in the car. We have that fantastic movie cliche with the keys in the visor, and now grandpa leaving the keys in the ignition everywhere he goes. How do you do that? I don't understand that. And then three cars get stolen, and you're still like, I'm going to leave my keys in the ignition. This is fine.
It's only three cars.
I can afford a few more. Got a list of cliches here. One of them is giant. Listen to this. Listen to this. Giant mutant creatures always head for downtown locations. Did somebody just see Rampage? Is that because that's the plot of Rampage? Giant mutant creatures come downtown Chicago.
Is it because it could be, if you want to reason it out, it could be the buildings.
Well, here's why in Rampage. Hmm. In Rampage, the bad guys who are responsible for this substance that has made these creatures bigger and crazier are sending out a signal at the top of the Sears Tower. And the signal attracts the mutants. So that's why they come to downtown Chicago. At least there's a reason in Rampage. Because there's signal that's emitting from the top of the Sears Tower.
Oh, okay. I usually think, I would imagine it's they just see big buildings and want to
yeah.
go there.
Yeah, that's probably what it is.
I mean, they're animals.
Yeah.
Know? They see something like, oh.
But, they do actually have a reason in Rampage. The signal is emitting from the Sears Tower, so it attracts the mutants downtown to the Sears Tower. And then all hell breaks loose. Oh, man. I have to say, it was really fun to see this town get completely annihilated. It was so much. It was really hilarious. Like, this building gets smashed. You know what I mean, Esmeralda? They rip apart the bridges. They knock the. And I mean, I won't even tell you what they do to the Sears Tower. But, I mean, they just demolish the city. The last 20 minutes of this movie is the total and insane destruction of downtown Chicago.
I'm kind of bummed that we weren't asked to be in it.
Yeah.
And they just take off the top of the Tribune. We're like, whoa.
Yeah, we're hanging out. Hey, what the hell? I was on the air.
It would be so. Seeing it would be very true to life.
That's right.
We work here.
Ripped off. I'd be worried. You know what would happen if somebody if a giant mutant ripped apart the studio? I would be worried that we'd have dead air. I'd be like, oh no, it's dead air.
That's the worry, not the big monster.
No,
outside.
It's the dead air. The monster can throw me across the river. I don't care as long as there's something on the air.
He knocks the building. You're downstairs.
I'm downstairs, and I'll be like, no, dead air. We have to find a place to hook up a microphone.
Can we plug this in?
And get a signal going right now. Because we can't have dead air.
Then you jump on the monster and you go out to the towers or
right.
whatever. The
exactly.
things that make the station
transmitter.
Run.
The transmitter. Yeah. So, anyway. Well, those are some movie cliches for you, everybody. And if you're going to see Rampage and you want to see, you know, Chicago get destroyed, it's a lot of fun. See it in IMAX. Because the louder it is, the louder and bigger it is, the less dumb it seems. So.